Welcome to the Midlife Midsters Podcast, your podcast for inspiration on being bold and saying yes to making the most of midlife.
So here we are with the second episode of our third season. Can you guys believe it?
No, it's exciting.
It's kind of amazing. Mm-hmm. I thought maybe we could start out just, I'm curious what everybody's been doing since we wrapped up season two and we're taking a little break before starting season three. Anybody doing anything bold and adventurous or fun?
I've had a couple things.
Tell us.
I started a new company and my daughter graduated from college and has a job, which I'm really excited about.
How about you, Marianne?
Been doing a little bit of travel. Went to Portland, Maine, getting ready to go to Florida because my oldest son is graduating from law school, which is exciting.
Yay.
And I've always loved health and fitness, and I've always worked out, and you guys know. But I started CrossFit, so I'm very proud of that. I was always intimidated by it, and I knew somebody that does CrossFit, kind of inspired me, so I got in the gym.
Good for you.
Yeah, it's great.
My latest adventure is not physical, I have to admit. But, you know, because I moved and I am walking the dog every day. I met this lovely woman that lives in the building. She actually right down the hall from me. And she sort of randomly asked, do you crochet? I was like, as a matter of fact, I do. So we've started a crochet club. We call it
fun.
Crochet and Conversation. And like roughly once a month, we get together and sit and talk and crochet together. It's kind of like an old sewing circle, but it's very fun.
That sounds fun.
You might end up being more than two at some point.
And it's just kind of nice to get to know other people in the building. So it has kind of a purpose. And then, of course, I've been doing my Italian lessons.
And your dance lessons.
And dancing. My husband gifted me for Christmas some dance lessons, and we've been... This is our third attempt on the dance floor, and finally we seem to have caught our collective rhythm. So,
can I come watch? It sounds entertaining. Well, we're all going to do it together.
Yes, so, we've all been invited by Mateo, my dance instructor at Arlington Ballroom. He's really great.
Well, I do hear you're going to teach us how to line dance here coming up.
Yeah, I'm working on it for this year's boat trip.
That'd be fun.
So,
what about you, Marla?
Yeah, so I don't feel like I have had such a positive 2024. I've had, and some of you, I think you know this, I've had a lot of people in my circle who have had a lot of health challenges and personal challenges. And I kind of looked at the last few months and actually really the starting in January, realizing that 2024, I've called the year of being there. And that, and this gets a little into this concept of a pause, but I needed to take a pause to figure out how I needed to continue to connect with people and to be there for the people who are in my life who needed my support or friendship or time. So that's a little bit different than starting a new business. Or I did start pickleball up again now that my broken foot is healed, so I could do that again. And now I'm going to focus on losing the 10 pounds that I gained while I was not able to do my regular routines. But really, really kicked off this year in a very introspective and an emotional way, to the point where I actually had forgotten about some of the challenges that people faced that I had shared with people, you know, and they're like, oh, well, what about that, you know, your friend who died? And I was like, who? And I was like, oh, yeah, you know, that it just 2024 just came in just with a big fat wet blanket.
Well, we were talking today, and you touched a little bit about this, on this idea of pause. And for our first episode of this season, we had a terrific interview with Suzanne Roski, who wrote a book about taking an adult gap year. And that sort of triggered this thought that we would have a conversation around other ways to take a pause in your life, maybe not a gap year.
Right.
But another way to sort of pause and reflect and think about where you are and where you want to go. And really, this time of life is kind of perfect for that. On the earlier side of the midster age timeline, taking a pause can be really effective in choosing where you want to go in the sort of second half of your career life, and then for those of us who are further along on the timeline and looking ahead to not having a career life, it's a good opportunity to sort of stop and think about what the value system is that's going to carry through into the post-work life. So I thought that's what we would talk a little bit about today.
I think it'll be a good discussion. Mm-hmm. I know Carmen has some things to say. You want to start us off?
Sure. So listening to Suzanne, I was having flashbacks. I think I have PTSD. When I changed my career after, similar to her, after a long executive career, I was in absolute burnout. And one of the stories that comes to mind, which should have told me that I was burned out, but I kept at it for another 3 or 4 years. I will never forget this. One night, the kids had gone to bed and my husband wanted to have sex. And I was like, well, okay, but only if afterward I can get up and go finish this PowerPoint. I thought to myself.
What's the subject of the PowerPoint?
I just remember when I finally quit my job, I was like, what was I thinking? That's insane. Who does that? But I think it's more common than people.
You weren't enjoying life at the time.
Oh my God, was I not enjoying life?
Or you would not have gone and done it.
No, I was not enjoying life. And I hate PowerPoint. I absolutely hate it.
Yeah. But too much
that's
pressure.
A wake-up
call.
You had too much pressure that was hanging over you.
Yeah, but a lot of it was... a lot. That's true. There was a ton of external pressure, but a lot of it was also self-imposed. I've always been a high achiever. I've always done, what I'm supposed to do. And then it was sort of like, it just becomes this self-perpetuating sort of mess until you figure out wow, this is really not serving me or anybody around me. And I really related to, I just remember when I finally quit my job and started my own company, I got, as the months went on, I got nicer and nicer and nicer and so much easier to live with because I was stretched so thin that if anything went wrong in my day, if there was traffic, if the air conditioner went down, it was it blew up everything. And all of a sudden I had time to just be a human being instead of this automaton.
Mm-hmm. I think that the age that we're all in, or actually we're beyond it now when we're raising our children, have careers, we're raising our kids, they're at sports, we want them to accomplish as much, so we're running everywhere. It is like a pressure cooker, especially in the DMV area, because the bar is so high. I mean, I recently saw that Arlington County, the city, which is county city, is the number one most educated population in the entire United States. Mm-hmm. And so that push to achieve, whether it's education or even achieving other things like playing pickleball, I mean, it just seems like this whole area, you want to be the best you can be. And even that's pressure. So, we did in our first episode was about Suzanne Roski and taking that year. But I think we all over time have learned to take a little bit of time for ourselves because we've had to, just basic self-care to be there for our children.
But what's important about taking a pause, I think, is pausing more than just the endless treadmill that we're all on of activities, and also just sort of refocusing on what's important. Because you're right, Arlington, the whole DMV area is pretty high charging most of the time. And I don't think that that's healthy for us or for our kids. And yet it's almost impossible to step away from it. It's a conversation we have a lot at church. Carmen and I go to the same church. And the youth group, I was the youth group leader for several years. And it's really, really hard to get kids to come to youth activities because they have baseball, they have soccer, they have lacrosse, they have debate team, they have swimming, they have this, they have music lessons, they have a million things that are all programmed for them to do, and they're wonderful things for them to do, but it becomes work. So these kids aren't actually living, they're working. And it's that endless treadmill, how do you pause that and get off? It's hard because you feel like it's going to keep going without you. And where will you be when everyone else continues to move ahead?
Yeah. I hadn't thought about it this way until we said, let's talk about taking a pause. And so I realized that I had a forced pause. And I was in a position where my job was eliminated, and I had a very generous severance package, and I was gifted, and that's how I looked at it, with a year. Well, actually, first I said, let me save money and, you know, find a new job quickly. But instead, I had a year of being a, what I was calling, I called it a year of being a stay-at-home mom. And the reason I looked at it that way was my kids were, I guess, like 9 and 11. And I remember people asking, if you didn't have to work, you know, would you? And I said, that's a really hard question to answer because I have to. So, you know, not an option. And so then I was gifted this year of being a stay-at-home mom. And that's, you know, we talk about that's when I met Marianne. But I was able to do things with my time that I hadn't been able to do. I, you know, volunteered for graduation. I was a room parent. And so after that time, though, I realized that's not fair. I always knew that was important. I realized how important that level of engagement was for me. And so I figured out how to work full time and still be involved in different ways, whether it was being a co-room parent with somebody else who worked full time, or it was being on the board at the temple or on the board of the crew team. That those things were so important, you know, back to what we talk about, what drains you and what fuels you, that level of engagement on behalf of my family, on behalf of my community, so fueled me, but I didn't think about it at the time as something coming out of that year of freedom or dramatic change until like 2 days ago.
It is that mental space, that capacity that slowing down or pausing gives us. Mm-hmm. We do really get to know ourselves and what is important. We are able to kind of realign what's important to us.
But it's a break. It's a break. And I think that's, you know, like a pause or a break, a gap year. A gap is a big thing, right? Mm-hmm. And a pause is
smaller.
Right.
It reminds me of when we talked to Martha Van Enthoven, and she was talking about sort of the, I'm going to give her words she didn't quite have, but the idea was there. This sort of the power of boredom. Like if we don't give ourselves the chance to be bored and sort of stop all the commotion that happens in our lives, we don't really see where we are and where we could be going. We just keep going on the same path. And finding the strength, because I think it takes strength to be bored and to disconnect, not just for ourselves, but for our families. That's really tough, but so important.
Yeah, or to read a book sitting in a chair as opposed to reading a book or listening to a book while you're on the treadmill.
Right. Right.
Marianne, tell us a little bit about how, because you were a nurse during COVID, and I live across the street from Marianne, and all of us were working from home, but Marianne was in the, quote, office, and it was, I know it was very stressful. Tell us about how you decided to change gears.
Sure. And I walked with you guys a lot.
Yeah.
Whenever I had time off, I tried to do that.
7 miles a day when we had the chance.
I know a lot of people actually were taking, they were remote, so they were taking time for themselves. It's like the whole neighborhood was talking about all the next Netflix shows and everything they were streaming and downloading. And I think I was not. Obviously, I don't think that I know. I was not working a lot of hours. The emotional weight of it, especially at the beginning, was very hard, for sure. So it was 2 years of it. I was lucky enough, I was able to do some of it from home and some in the office. We started out in the office, but I was doing a lot of contact tracing, which was hard because we lost a lot of people at the beginning. So the grief of talking to somebody and we would follow up and 5 days later, a nurse is answering the phone or a family member and they didn't make it. So there was a lot of weight, a lot of emotional weight. I was lucky enough that I had put a lot of years into the government Arlington County as a public health nurse, that I could take an early out. And I just knew when I had to walk away. I just knew that I needed to do this for myself. I was lucky enough also that my children were adults, young adults who are both in law school, and actually living a great life remotely out on the Chesapeake Bay, doing all their work. But so I didn't have to worry about them, which was wonderful. My husband was working from home. No one was coming in the office, so he would at times. But he also was like, you know, Marianne, you don't have to do this anymore. It was just too much. And so I walked away. So I was kind of, I feel like the mental health aspect of me forced me to take a gap year. Actually, it's now been 2 years. But Marla, you were talking about yours. Mine was more the mental health aspect of it, where I needed to step away. And I was just, I sat in it. Like, I didn't know what I was going to do. I know I had to kind of reconcile that I was leaving a career that I loved, but it was ready to leave. But also, I had so many, it was like a monsoon of ideas. It was like you were talking about, when you take a break, you do have time and capacity, and you do want to kind of figure out what your next step is going to be. You and I talked about this, Carmen, earlier today. I didn't want to leave a graveyard of unfulfilled dreams. I knew that. What my dreams were, I needed to chisel that a little bit and bring that in a little tighter. One of my kids would tell you I'm sunshine mixed with a little hurricane.
Wow, that is a good description of you, Marianne.
There is that force. If there's something gets into my head, I'm like force of nature, and I just go for that. So I didn't want to jump into anything impulsive, but the gap time has been great for me. I've always been one that has enjoyed adventure as a child. And I know we talked about ourselves in an episode, and everybody else was playing Barbies and all of that. And I was Grizzly Adams taking my peanut butter, going out to the woods. So I knew I was going to do something adventurous, but I feel like I got my mental health back on track. And it's not until you have that time that you even realize that you were a little far gone, you know, in some way. You weren't treating yourself the way you should, or being there for your family in the way that you needed to. But thanks for asking about that.
You know, I have always loved severe weather events. I love, and it doesn't happen that often in Arlington, Virginia, but it does happen.
Yep.
We have had some major snowstorms over the past 25 years where the power's gone out and you can't really go anywhere. We've had a couple of hurricanes come through.
A derecho.
I'm sorry?
The derecho.
The derecho, right? I love those. And I'm only just now, as we're talking about this, realizing that it's because it's a pause. It's a break in the way the normal routine of life goes on. And like, when you have that break, you suddenly do things differently that are way more fun. Like, I can remember a hurricane years ago. It must have been probably in the early 2000s. And the power was out for like 4 days. And so we would have camping lanterns and light candles, and we would read to the kids by, you know, camp light at night. And actually, during COVID, when we were also bored of being in the house, there was something really beautiful about that.
Yeah.
Because we were doing things we didn't do. Puzzles. I love puzzles. It's just kind of interesting that I don't make time for that kind of quiet activity in my normal life, even though it's always there. Something major has to step in to interrupt it.
That's such an interesting thought. I love the rain. I always love the rain. But I used to think I love the rain because it gives me an excuse to be lazy.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you're saying.
Leslie, and I will say, the last Snowmageddon, my kids were little. My husband was in California. The power went out. They had lice, strep throat, son threw up on my feet.
All right,
and after that, I was like, you are never going to California in February again.
I like to tell the story. It's kind of similar, though. When the kids were small, I was working for Marianne's husband, and I was representing a man who was accused of first-degree murder. I was his defense attorney. And the case happened to come up for trial. My husband was going to Hawaii on a complete boondoggle trip. And I could have gone with him, but no, I had to be there trying this case. And not only did he go to Hawaii when I was in trial in a first-degree murder case, I had the kids. And so after the first night...
Did you or did I? No, I'm kidding. No.
Marianne helped a lot then. But at night, like, I can remember, this is so gross, but it's so true. I was so exhausted. Like, it was just a whole day of things. And like, being in trial is really stressful, especially in a murder case. And, I went to bed with the kids, and of course they didn't stay in their beds. And so in the middle of the night, Harry climbed in on one side of the master bedroom and Lindsay climbed in the other side. And I was like, fine, they could just sleep here. And sometime during the night, I woke up to the sensation of warmth.
Oh. Yeah.
We all.
Oh.
And I don't know who it was, but I do know that I laid there and I thought, if I get up and change these sheets, no one is going back to bed tonight. They won't go back to bed. And I won't go back to bed. And I have to get some rest. And so the warmth turned to cold.
You went right back to bed.
But I went back to sleep.
I love it.
Because, like, there was just no way that I could, like, deal with it in that moment. And so I guess I pushed pause on my need for cleanliness and order just to get through to the next day.
Yeah.
And sometimes, like, pauses can be that, too. Giving up what you think your structure has to be just to get on to the next day.
I think that we have to take pause. I think our lives change. We change as people, right?
Mm-hmm.
From our 20s, well, as a child on. But I think it's just important to be able to be reflective and insightful, to plan. Like, we don't plan trips or without thinking about it and setting it out. But yeah, if you're in autopilot and you're just going, you don't have that time. That's why I think in midlife, everybody talks about midlife women, you're going to pivot, you're going to do things, but we have the time to. So it's a perfect time because the kids are gone, our education's over, our career is winding down somewhat. And so it is a beautiful time to take pause if we can do it.
You know, you're giving me an idea, which is maybe the next trip I take, as something you said triggered this thought in my mind. I think maybe I'll do it without planning it. That would be kind of a big...
I'll stay home.
No, no, because I approach vacations the way I approach everything in my life. It's got to be organized. I mean, I make dinner reservations in advance, and we have the day planned out, and we know where we're staying, and I budget it out exactly how much we're going to spend. I include the conversion rate when we go to Europe. Maybe it would be really cool to take a trip with no plan other than...
Leslie Ann winging it.
Yeah, go for
it. I want to see that.
I like to wing it. I'm in between. I got to have some parameters and then enough, like, wiggle room to be spontaneous. Can't be completely spontaneous, probably because once upon a time I was so spontaneous that, you know, we couldn't find a hotel room type thing.
Yeah.
But...
But you did. That. You survived it. And
exactly.
That's the key to the exactly. spontaneity.
Is but it? For me, I need both. I need some parameters. I can't do every moment, but I need some anchors. But at the same time, when you're talking about structure or pauses, I've noticed in times when I had plans to do something that for whatever reason, right, you lost the power, my dog got sick, and so my Mother's Day plans kind of went up in the air because I needed to stay home and take care of the dog. And then suddenly you have this day that you fill. It's that spontaneity piece, right? So I gardened all day, you know, and so how do you take advantage of, like you said, creating those pauses,
right?
Creating that time to think or to take advantage when you have that unexpected change in plans or that unexpected, again, a pause to me is like a blank slate too, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, it's a time to be creative. You know, the creativity juices, I think, come out. And I think without pause, you can't have self-discovery. I think it's really
I think hard. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And that is so important, is self-discovery. Like I was saying, we've changed so much over the years. Not that our values and morals change. They're the same, but We do change, and it's important.
Change for some.
Yeah, they do.
They can.
They can. That's true. But I think the self-discovery is important. It's been a great time. Y'all know I've just been having a blast the last couple years. I almost feel guilty about it, but I'm not going to. And I want to continue down the road that we're all on. Even we're talking about taking a pause, but all of us pause from everything we were doing.
To do this.
In life. To jump on the bandwagon. of doing a podcast, and I know you've spoken about this quite a bit, Leslie-Ann, is this how it's changed you? Kind of the self-discovery, the digging deep, things resonating within us that maybe hadn't before. It's a great opportunity for that.
Yeah, it definitely has led for me to a lot of connections between things in sort of my psyche that I think have been really productive and useful to me. If there was something Suzanne said, I can't remember exactly how it came up, but she was talking about how when you have free time, you sort of fill it with things and anxiously go along. And that's where I think I have found there has been some change, because I'm more reflective now about what are we doing with our life? How am I boldly living my life? And what's really important to me in my life? And so when those moments come up, instead of filling them with the usual filler, right? I try to find something more nutritious to put into my mind.
Right. Like gardening.
One
of the things that she said, and I think it's important to put out there without turning this into a therapy session, but I do think it's something that I think will resonate with our listeners, is the, I didn't realize how miserable I was on the inside and how disengaged I was. And I think that all of us at some point, and miserable, it might be very extreme, right? And I think in her case, she really was miserable, and she did talk about some things. But that you know, being on the treadmill or the, you know, hamster wheel, as we used to call it, but you know, or you had such a commitment to the county that you couldn't do anything other than just continue to power through. But how do we tap into that, right? If you're in therapy, you're tapping into, you know, how you're feeling. But if you're not, you know, how many people are in relationships, in jobs, who, you know, you've been fed this. This is the life. This is, you know, what, I won't use the P word again. But to really take that time and to say, okay, you know what, I need to own up to the reality of how I'm feeling, and then begin to explore what kinds of changes you're going to make, whether it's a gap year or starting a new business, or, you know, stepping away from being a public health nurse, or I think you were talking about, you know, just scaling back. You know, after my gap year, my forced gap year, I took a job and worked part-time. Not when my kids were little ones, when they were in middle school and into high school. So really thinking about, you know, what are those things that we can change to get us out of those funks, or even, you know, in Suzanne's case, I think more extreme than a funk.
You know, listening to you, I'm thinking about, there are people, and I've probably done this in some part of my life, just sleepwalking through your life, or you're a passenger, you know, in your own life, and just taking control of that. But again, I don't think that you can really think about that unless you do learn to, like, step back, take a moment, take a pause, take a gap.
And it's because we do measure ourselves by external measurements of what it means to be a successful person or a well-rounded person or whatever it is we think we want to be. And we don't look enough internally to figure out actually what those terms mean for us. And, you know, that's a harder process, because it means marching to the beat of a different drum, right? And that's really hard.
Right.
You see everyone else doing things. It's FOMO, right? Fear of... is it FOMO, fear of missing out? We all kind of have that in the back of our heads. And I think the interesting thing about taking a pause is maybe to take a pause to embrace that actually it's okay to miss out. It's okay to let other people continue on the path they're on and maybe step back from it a little bit.
Well, there's a new one now.
What is that?
Oh, I'm gonna have to look it up on my phone, because I won't remember. We'll have to put it in the notes afterwards, but it's the opposite.
A FOMO.
It's like the fear of not giving yourself the time or something.
Interesting.
Like that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So for me, it's a little bit different. And all of you know this. I did not work in corporate America. And career was never important to me. A means to an end basically. I wanted to find my life partner, have babies, and bake cookies, basically. So I didn't feel like I needed to step away, or I was not going to meet a bar career-wise for myself. Mm-hmm. But what I did find out was during taking time and gap time is where I found I needed to do more or have a higher bar is community involvement. I've always done some community involvement. As y'all know, we do a lot of it together. But I think for me, talking about a gap year, that's something I took away that really is rewarding to me, that I think is important. Mm-hmm. So when realigning on what we want to do in the future, yes, I want to take time for myself and enjoy a lot of adventure. But I feel, as I know all of you, we're all very involved in our community, how important that is as well. So, and I think that it gives you a different perspective about yourself and the people around you as well. That's super rewarding. And no matter who in our community, no matter socioeconomically, everybody can put a little time in. And actually, it is kind of a gap because you're leaving what you know in your own home, your own socioeconomic community, and delivering services or doing something in another one, in another type of community. And there, and I think that that is, it was a gap for me even doing that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it totally does.
I don't know if I'm articulating it right.
No, I think you are.
So I think anyone listening to this, just taking some time to find themselves, taking a gap, whether they're sitting on the couch or whether they're doing an adventure, but I would also definitely advise them to look at community work as well.
So I've been forced into a number of pauses this year and am extraordinarily uncomfortable with all of them. First is my children leaving home is much more impactful than I realized that it would be, not because I really miss them on a daily basis. It's appropriate and normal for them to go off. I wouldn't want it any other way, but it's very disorienting to not have your kids at home anymore. I think y'all know this. My father's in hospice. That has forced a whole lot of confrontation of, you know, all sorts of things. And then the ending of a business and the beginning of another one. And I found it to be, I have a lot of time to think, and it's not pleasant. Like, I'm not going to pretend like sometimes I keep thinking to myself, I hope I'm a chrysalis and I'm turning into a butterfly. But there are days when I'm like, I just feel like a caterpillar and I'm going to get squished by the world. But one of the things that has been interesting has been, I am super energized about my profession, and I think I want to go harder than I ever have before, but in a completely different way because it's not for somebody else anymore. But I'm ready to put the pedal to the metal. I'm like, my kids are finally gone. It's my turn. I can do what I want to do. My husband's supportive of it. And I'm so energized by my work, and I'm like, I don't know, maybe I have one or two really good runs left in me because I'm 52. So I'm like, I've got, I don't know, 10, 15 years. And I'm like, I really want to see what I can do because I don't ever feel like I've actually achieved very much professionally, which may sound crazy because of the titles that I've had. But it was never fulfilling in the way that I want my work to be fulfilling.
Yeah. Question of what are your values, right? Mm-hmm. And how do you incorporate your values into your daily work life? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I had the opportunity to be up on the hill, I guess a week or two ago, with Bob Ballard. So the gentleman that discovered the Titanic. And I love this term.
Really?
I love this.
That's the coolest thing.
I love how she throws this out here. Yeah, I was on the hill with Bob Ballard who discovered the Titanic.
But he was talking, so I was asking him about his Navy career and the retirement of that. And he used this term or analogy that I just loved. He was like, well, you know, in car races, they run their car and then they come to the garage and they get retired. He goes, I never retired. I just retired. I got new tires for my next leg.
Oh, I'm in. That's my man.
You made me think of that when you were saying
that's
that.
Right. That's yeah.
So I love that. So I feel like I retired from as a public health nurse, but I just got retired.
Retired. I like
you
that.
You got your Pirellis.
Oh, I did.
You know, I will tell one strictly gap pause kind of story and what it meant, because it's kind of interesting. And it touches also, I think, on something Suzanne said, is about meditation. And I did a silent retreat a number of years ago. There's an Episcopal monastery. Episcopalians have monasteries, people. Mm-hmm. Who knew that? There's an Episcopal monastery in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and our church for a while had a connection there. And so we would do these silent retreats. And so we went up there, and it was a five-day silent retreat. And it was silent. Like, these monks live there, and they take a vow of silence. And when you're there, you're expected to respect that. So you're not allowed to speak at all in the building. And they tell you you can leave during the day if you want, but they ask that you leave and return intentionally. So if you leave, leave with a place in mind that you're going, the amount of time you're going to be gone, and return at the correct time in the right mindset to reenter the community. And they ask that you not leave for more than like 90 minutes at any one time. And so you are in silence. And it was very interesting, because you're communicating with other people, but you're not talking, right? We would eat at these big communal tables all together. So you're just with your thoughts all the time. And on the last day we were there, day number five, one of the brothers was our spiritual leader, and he was allowed to talk to us for a few minutes every day just to kind of set the tone and make sure we were doing okay. So the last night we were there, we were having a joint meditation session. And they put various things in the room that you could look at if you wanted to fix your attention on something while you were meditating. And there were cushions on the floor, and there were some chairs, and like, you could just kind of find your space in this room. And we were going to meditate for an hour, which is an awfully long time. And when we sat down, Brother Bruce came in, and he said, "I'll be coming around the room and giving tissues to everyone if you need them." And I remember thinking, tissues? Like, what does he think is going to happen in here? And 15 minutes into this hour-long meditation, I was bawling like a baby. I went through the entire box of tissues. And I can't, sitting here now, tell you what I cried about, but the power of having time and space alone with my own self was unbelievable. I mean, it was deeply, deeply moving. And I know I came back a different person, but I can't say it was because of this or that. It was really just because I felt, for that time, I had truly connected with myself, you know? So I highly recommend that. If you ever get an opportunity to do a silent retreat for any length of time, you should do it, and end it with a meditation and bring tissues, because you will need them.
I don't think I could be silent. I'd try.
It's actually easier than you think.
Yeah.
In some ways.
You know, how long was it?
We were there 5 days, right? We went Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Yeah, five days.
You know, we're talking about taking time and gap minutes and all of that, breaks. I have to say, when I have the opportunity to do that, and I have had an opportunity to do a lot of that, I just want you three to know that in those times when I'm realigning who I want to be and my values, you three have inspired me so much in different ways.
Really?
Yes. Oh my, your lust for life? Jesus. I thought I had lust for life. Oh no.
We got to get it.
You have a lust for life. Marla's dedication to her family and friends, and just the way you look at things and the perspective that you have, I try to emulate that. And you know, you're a dear, dear friend of mine. The way you treat your kids, and the way that you treat others, is just beyond what most people do. And so when I am taking this time and trying to figure out, I want you to know that you're with me in those decisions, because you've inspired me so much. I think that's what's been so fun. I mean, I've been y'all's friends for years, but when we do the podcast, we have a little more time, you know, with each other, and see other aspects of ourselves as well in each other. And I just love that.
And
anyway,
even though we're all alike in a lot of ways, we're also very different mm-hmm. in some core ways. And I think that that's kind of a beautiful thing, is just to see different dimensions in your friends. Mm-hmm. All right, ladies, on to our next adventures.
Yay.
And to our listeners, you can find us at www.americanmistress.com.
Yeah.